If you would turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 1. I don't know about you, but when, it's been a real joy and privilege to learn some of the things that Glenn and I shared with you yesterday, and we've been doing this, I don't know, for more years than I can remember. Actually, it seems like yesterday, but it's probably like 4 years ago or more we started on this. Oh, true. It goes back a ways. I forgot. But, when you consider the magnificence of God, and then you sing a song like that, it's just the words don't even begin to convey and express the heart, right? I mean, but it's a great way to try. And it's just been such a blessing to be here with you all. It's so easy to share the word with you and to share in the word with you because your hearts for God they're very wonderful, and they're instructing to me as well. So it's been a great joy. In 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. I don't know if you see it in there the way I see it, but there's some great intimacy in these verses. To have touched, and to seen and heard. It is a palpable relationship that they're trying to write about here, that they're conveying. And it's something for us to consider when we talk about our relationship with the Father and with his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is truly supposed to be something that when we go to testify of it, we speak of things that we have touched, that we have seen, that we have heard, that we've sensed. And I know for many, many of us, it's not like you arrive there, okay? It's a bit of a journey. But the great thing about God is, as we just sang, is he is so faithful to bring us along. And he doesn't need much, a mustard seed worth, basically, to just say, I accept your presence in my life and help me to accept it more. And in the process of doing that, you're also going to find that there is great fellowship with him and with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you turn to John 16, I want to try to fill out that picture a little bit. It's truly amazing that we live in the time that we do. I don't know if we fully appreciate it. It'd be great if we could live out every moment of the day truly appreciative of the fact that we live on the side of God's purpose and of the ages of time, which we now know. We're talking, they stretch back, let's say, 13.8 billion years. That was all the time from the human reckoning that God took to prepare the habitation, the home for his man. And though it was lost fairly quickly, it's been regained. And for a mere 2,000 years out of 14 billion or so, 13.8 billion, there has been available to mankind that kingdom of light and this relationship with the Father, the Creator. It's pretty it's quite a privilege, isn't it, to live this side of the accomplished works of Jesus Christ and to have been given the revelation that we have and to be part of that body of Christ that stretches right to the right hand of the Father. That's our place in life. And, of course, we owe it all to Jesus Christ. He did it. It was God's plan, but somebody had to execute it. And a man did that, which it's just remarkable. And what an incredible Lord and Savior that we have. And shortly before he was going to depart, after having spent some wonderful time with his closest disciples, having the so-called Last Supper and other things, as they're walking along, he says this in John 16:12, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, or it, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. And that is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." You see the relationship there. All that the Father has was given to Jesus Christ in order for him to give it via the Spirit to us. And his great promise here was, I have a lot more to share with you, man. There is just a lot I want to share with you. But I can't do that right now. You wouldn't even be able to process it until you have, once again, been made whole the way we were originally intended and designed by God to be. Make no mistake about it, you take spirit away from a human being and you have an incomplete human being. You have a fractured organism. You have something that's missing the most integral part that it was designed to house. It was designed to be in total connection and communication with the Creator, God our Father. You take the Spirit away, it just doesn't run. It doesn't work. And it can only be, therefore, it could only bear so much that Jesus Christ wanted to share until that new creation came in, that whole new Spirit that God created in these men on the day of Pentecost. And then there was now the ability for Jesus Christ to really start sharing all those things that the Father had given to him and then he was going to give to us by way of the Spirit. And of course we know in Galatians when the Apostle Paul is talking about the gospel that he was preaching, he says, I didn't receive it from men, but I received it by revelation of what? Jesus Christ. And I think it's safe to say that the gospel that he was talking about was the gospel of the mystery, the true revelation, as really revealed and set forth in Ephesians and other places. But so the greatest revelation ever given to mankind, the true purpose of mankind, as it says in Ephesians, the purpose of the ages, is a fulfillment of Jesus Christ here saying, I have a lot I want to share with you. And do we think he just said it once and said, I'm done with that? It's in the Bible. Go read it. Does that sound like a relationship to you? What if you as a parent wrote down your heart once in a card, nice, beautiful, expressive, let's say you were just really a great writer, and just really shared your heart, put it in a card, gave it to your child when they were like six, and said, there you go. And I don't need to speak of these matters anymore. What kind of, that would be a little weird, wouldn't it? Well, what about our Heavenly Father who has much to share that he has given to our Lord Jesus Christ to teach us through the Spirit? Do you think that this was just a one-time past act on his part? No, it's a daily desire. Just like those of us who have kids, particularly if your kids have grown and moved out, there's this awareness of how much you would really like to spend time with them. You know, and the problem with us is we too often act like kids who've grown up and moved out and don't need dad anymore when it comes to our spiritual lives. And somewhat ironically, the more you know the scriptures, many times that's how you think, because you think you've got it. And what the reality is, no, you need the relationship. That's what we need. And I think this is what Jesus Christ was really showing his disciples and what he had displayed throughout his life. In John 17, I just wanted to read this prayer with you, because it's just, and hopefully these things might have a little deeper meaning now that we've kind of gone through some things in the last 24 hours about the greatness and awesomeness of God the Father. And of course, this is the God to whom he's speaking, you know, and this is our Lord, just imagine. So it says in John 17, he looked toward heaven and he prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I have given them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. And they knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Your logos, your thoughts, your purposes, your ideas, your heart, that's the truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. Yea, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them, and you and me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." What an incredible prayer. And to think of it, that he has given us the glory that God gave him. Can you earn that? I mean, go work for that. I mean, come on. That's just not even possible. All you can do is just say, thank you. Wow. A little later, if you turn to Mark, not much later, Jesus Christ was in a garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. And it's interesting to think about the fact he's also called the last Adam, we know in the scriptures, right? Because like the first Adam, he was incorrupted seed, right? He had no corruption in him. He was just like the first Adam. He was body, soul, and spirit, and had no old man nature. And so he was, you know, this was chapter 2 or round 2 of mankind as God originally intended him to be. And think about that. Jesus Christ was simply man as God originally intended him to be. And what he did and how he walked and how he lived and how he loved and the things that he could do, the dominion and power and authority with which he lived so that nothing could touch him, was the original created value, the original intention of mankind. He was simply living out exactly what God intended man to be. And he came to a garden too, just like the first man. This is a bit of a different context, though. The garden he was in the middle of the world now, run by God's arch enemy, Satan. And Satan had a great deal of resources that had been handed to him by Adam, like the dominion of the world, to bring to bear on this man, as opposed to this man being in paradise in the garden. He was in the garden in the midst of the world. And he was sorely tempted, just like the first Adam. And he met face to face with the deception and the lies and the evil of Satan, just like the first Adam. It says, they went to a place in verse 32 called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow. Mark 14, verse 32. So, you know, he asked his disciples, all the disciples who'd been walking with him, to, you know, just stay here, hang out, and just pray. And then he took Peter, James, and John a little further with him. And he said, you know, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. That's quite a thing for him to share with these three guys. Can you imagine those three? I don't know that they'd ever heard the Lord Jesus Christ say words like that. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And he said, just stay here and keep watch. And he went just a little further than that. And then he fell to the ground. I mean, you got to see this. This is our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, this is a man in whom there is no corrupted soul life, the original intention of God for mankind. This is a great man. This is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He fell to the ground. He came to the ground because of his great sorrow and anguish. And he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. And if you have a red letter Bible, you know that the first words that he uttered after that, what was the first word?
Abba.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? And that little word, Abba, which means daddy, is the tenderness of relationship. The closeness, the nearness, I can feel you and touch you and taste that you're good, that intimacy that he had with the Father that we saw in John 17 when he was praying. And now he falls to his knees in a garden, but what does he lead with under that great sorrow and anguish to the point of death? What's the first word out of his mouth? Daddy. And there's the difference, you know, between the first Adam and the last Adam. The first Adam didn't get to Daddy when met with temptation. He said, I will. I'll have some of that. And forgot the relationship and walked away from Abba and went on his own. A perfect man in a perfect world with total dominion, and he walked away from Abba. And along comes the last Adam, sorrowful to the point of death, and that's what he leads with. And that's what we lead with every day of our lives. Turn to Philippians. Chapter 2, please. In verse 1, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then, so if there's any of this, okay, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in purpose. Wow, what a great picture for who we are to be with each other in this world. You know, it says that by the love they have for one another, they will be known. And again, I'm not just stroking you guys. You definitely have a lot of that here. And I encourage you to keep encouraging each other to continue to live that out. And to enjoy that fullness of joy that Jesus Christ prayed he wanted to give us, that complete joy. And it's in this fellowship, this tenderness and compassion, this like-mindedness that we can share with one another, that we can be of the same purpose. And, you know, it's just what a privilege. And it says, that goes on to say, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Now, do we understand a little bit better why you don't want to do that? The template of pride hasn't gone anywhere, folks. It lays over the top of the world. And it's constantly being pushed upon by the God of this world to bring people to their knees where they finally give up. And some of us have been close. Some of us have been up and down. And sometimes in the downs, it's just you just want to, you know, hang it up. And that template of pride is really being shoved on your head, and you just want to make it all about you and just kind of give up. And the quickest way to fall into trouble is to make it about us, to make it about ourselves. Because it isn't about us. We died and our life is hid in Christ. It's about Christ. It's about our Heavenly Father. And that's where we find ourselves. I mean, it's the greatest irony, perhaps, you know, from a worldly perspective, but not from a spiritual perspective. If you really think about everything that we covered and all that what God has done and all that He prepared and everything that He has done to display His love and His goodness, the very good that He wants for us, it isn't really that illogical to think that, well, the way I'm going to be blessed then is to give my life to this guy and to get out of the way, to lay my life down and let him have it, to give it all up to this guy who has spent billions of years just because he loves me. That's not that, you know, is that illogical? No. In the world, it's totally ridiculous, though. To get my life, I got to lose it? Well, that sounds stupid. to get something, I got to give it up? No, this doesn't work that way. But that's that template of pride. And to encourage each other to walk in that glorification and that praise to God and to keep Him first and to make it about Him with each other. We won't lose our lives in that. We won't lose our identities. We will find them in that. So do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a slave, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's no wiggle room here. I'm sorry, this is it. This is God's plan for salvation, redemption, for the natural order of things now. Here's the natural order of things. I exalted him. It's his name above every name. Wherever you are, it doesn't matter, and it's going to be that way, and every knee will bow to him. And that's the end of that story. Okay? Anything other than that, any other thought of tolerance or of, well, you know, there's other ways. No, there is not. And for good reason. For good reason. There's only, you can understand, I mean, this is the last Adam. He stayed faithful. He is the one who solved the problem that started with Adam and Eve. It's done. But it's done in him. And if there can't be any doubt here, it's his name that is above all names forever. And every knee has to bow to him. So why is it that our life is found in him? Because only in him does every knee bow. And only in him are we going to be returned to our created value, our original value, to have dominion. But in him, in the one that God has placed all power and authority, in his name, he has given us that glory. And in him, that's where we find that. No other place. There just isn't anything out there to be offered to us. But of course, the whispering continues, and it will. But this is where our life is. It's in him. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Wow, isn't that, well, that's a boring way to live, ain't it? 2 Corinthians, please. We have the Spirit of God's Son in our hearts, it says in Galatians, whereby we might cry, Abba, Father. And in Romans it says that we have not received the spirit of slavery, but the Spirit of his Son, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I really, it's an encouragement to me and to all of us as a household and as a family of believers to just continue down that path of seeking Abba. And because he's not hard to find. You know, he's not hiding. And he has gone to such incredible lengths to make himself known by the things that are made. The divine attributes of God are infinitely there to see. I mean, there's just no end to that. I mean, what we scratched the barest surface of it this weekend. You can take anything that you want in the realm of the things that are made by God, and you will find his divine attributes. It's just an amazing quest. So, I mean, for those of you who have an interest in science, you know, go for it, man. But go for it knowing that you are pursuing Abba, trying to get those divine attributes out of what you're looking at. And it's a great quest for all of us, though. And if all you know about the stars is they twinkle really pretty, that's plenty, because that's what most people have known for, like, that's pretty much covers the vast majority of the human race. But it's okay, because the guy who put them up there and names everyone, even as they come online, and that continues, that's your daddy. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I would encourage you, there's a website, and Michael, maybe you can help distribute this. You were there a couple weeks ago. Up in the Naperville area where we're from, Ken Petty came in and taught a couple weekends ago. And there's a site called it's gcfnaperville.org. And they put his teachings up from the weekend. I think they're all up there now. Has anybody looked? No? I don't know. But I do know that the Sunday teaching was up last I knew. And that was just a phenomenal presentation of God's Word. But in Ken's teaching, he covered 2 Corinthians 3 here. And I would really encourage you to go take a look at it. It's one of the most remarkable teachings you're ever going to hear on the veil and your face covered, or Moses' face covered with a veil, and now us with unveiled face. GCF Naperville, NAPERVILLE.org. And you can see pictures of Glenn and Don on that site too, I think. It says in verse 17, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Yay, there is freedom. We are to be so free by the Spirit of the Lord. And again, something to encourage in each other, to be free. There's nothing to be burdened with. No legal requirements. It's the law of love. Love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love everybody else with that love. And have a blast. We're free. Free of the slavery and the bondage of the wicked one, the evil one who rules the world. Because we got transferred out of that sucker, right? Isn't that great? I love that. I love the fact that I got pulled out of that. And, with great purpose and deliberation, moved somewhere else. I had nothing to do with it. I just found myself in the kingdom of light. Which is a good thing, because if it was up to me, I never would have found it, right? I would have stumbled through and ended up in the wrong place. But we are so free there in that kingdom. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. Well, in heaven, in this kingdom of heaven, there is just freedom. It's everywhere. "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." We are being transformed, right? We do not transform ourselves. If you endeavor to do that, good luck with that, because that doesn't work. But again, in the secret place, as they say, as it's called in places in the Word, in that place where you and your Father fellowship, in the fellowship of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's been there, okay? He's been here in the world. He's done it. There is nothing that he has not experienced that he can't, with that experience, succor us. You can't find yourself in a place that he can't have compassion for you, because he's been here. Right? There is nothing that you can't be anywhere that he can't empathize with you and have compassion and tenderness towards you. It's he who puts his arm around you and ushers you to say, let's go talk to Daddy, okay? This is what we're going to do. Because that's who he is. He's our Lord, and he's been here, and that is how we are to be transformed, not by our own works, but by God in Christ transforming us through the Spirit. That's in Romans chapter 12, right? It's in the passive, that, you know, that transformation is passive. It's happening to us. If we would but let God be that intimate in our lives. So ever-increasing glory is what our future is. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has made his light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that is who you are. And that was his purpose of all the ages. Thank you very much.